whether you have a business or whether you're starting a podcast just to start a podcast, right? That is going to be your business. It still all starts with your target market. Everything from marketing starts there. So we really have to understand who those ideal people are and who we can help most.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, podcast. This episode's going to be a little bit different because usually, you know how we do, every even episode is solo, or every even or every odd number is either solo or an interview. For the next couple of episodes, probably like four of them, I'm going to actually push out interview episodes during solo episode days, only because we have so many extra interview episodes that are going all the way through past the end of the year. And so I want to bring you that great content, and I'll take a break from the solos just for a few weeks and we'll jump right back in. So this interview, although it's supposed to be a solo episode, it's going to be an interview episode. So let's dive in and you can get the value that this guest has.
What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam Adams, and looking forward to today's podcast for a lot of reasons, but Tim and I just had a cool conversation about mountain biking and stuff, and that we live in the same areas and know some of the same trails. So that's part of why I'm excited about it. Additionally, he's really, really good at marketing. He started his company, Rialto Marketing, like back in 2013. And so he knows a thing or two about it. And today's episode, I'm going to focus a little bit about like kind of extracting for free advice from Tim, how to market better. But additionally, I'll make sure that we get into his story and his podcast, which he ended up starting in 2020. And it looks like his podcast is performing really well with just really good traction. So I think he's got a thing or two to share with you on how he did that. At any rate, Tim, first and foremost, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, Adam. I'm excited to be here, man.
So you like mountain biking. Do you like road biking?
No road biking. No, I'm not a road biker. I don't know. I never really got into it. I've always enjoyed mountain biking. I just like to be out in nature, man. And sometimes I drive by road bikers on the road and I'm like, it doesn't seem fun sucking off of a tailpipe. I don't know. That's just me.
I've got a friend who doesn't live far from you. He's an engineer. He just retired from Lockheed Martin, but he's only 40. Anyway, he just retired there and he did a triathlon. He and I did a road biking session and he crushes me on the up, but I was flying on the down. But he lives right by you. So I basically went out to around like Highland Ranch area to start with him. But it was a lot of fun. Let's dive into today's episode. And I think I want to talk a little bit about marketing with you, because that's really your skill set. Especially because my listener is a podcaster, or I'm almost podcaster, and I want to make sure that they get some tips and tricks that you've learned through podcasting. So let's dive in there first. First and foremost, you started your business in 2013. Mm-hmm. Why did you wait for your podcast for 7 whole entire years? kind of give us a little bit of info on that.
You know, honestly, I just wasn't at a place where I was really even thinking about it. What was the big driver for me was, prior to the pandemic, I was doing a fair amount of speaking and workshops for lead gen for my business. And obviously when the pandemic started, that like dropped off the face of the earth.
Okay. So where would you speak before? Like,
I was doing in-person stuff. So I was doing a lot of stuff for SCORE, which is an organization. It's a national organization, but there are chapters all across the country. And I was working with SCORE in Denver. So I was doing stuff with them. I was doing some self-hosted stuff where I'd be just doing my own workshops and driving people there. You know, events, things like that. So pandemic hit, that stopped. So I was like, I need to do something different.
Out of curiosity, why didn't you decide on just doing webinars instead?
Could have. And I did. But
you did.
Yeah. So, you know, so I transitioned that, but I was like, well, you know, what else can I do? And how else can I expand? And I honestly, my podcasting journey started with live video. So I, at the time, just before the pandemic, I had met a gentleman that was a live video specialist, and he was talking about a lot of the benefits of doing live video. And so I started with live video. And once I started to get comfortable with that, I was like, well, this is, why am I just doing live video? This is stupid to just do live video. I've got video footage. I have audio footage. We need to repurpose this and start using it in all kinds of different ways. One of them being creating a podcast. So all my podcasts are live video sessions that are recorded, and then it gets repurposed into all of our other content.
Are you still doing webinars now?
I'm still doing okay. Work. Yeah, whatever you want to call them. Webinars, trainings, workshops. Yeah, I still do those actively.
Cool. And now that the pandemic is mostly over, we're approaching 2023 right now, and it happened almost 2.5-3 years ago. A question comes to my mind, and I wonder if the listeners also thinking about the same thing. Like, you started the podcast almost out of necessity because, like, your normal way of client acquisition changed without the in-person meetings. But does that mean that now that we're going back to normal and people are meeting live and in person again, are you going to quit your podcast?
No.
Okay.
No.
How come?
Well, for a few reasons. One, I enjoy doing it, honestly. For me, one of the main reasons why I continue to do it is for the networking aspect of it. And I think we'll probably dig into this, but you know, what you want out of your podcast, I think, is super important, like why you're doing it, what your goals are. And for me, it's a way to network and meet great people. So, you know, I use my podcast to create content that is going to help me grow my business, right? I did not start a podcast as my main business, right? I'm going to start this podcast. I'm going to build a huge audience, and I'm going to monetize on it. That was never my goal in doing it. So, you know, it seems to me like podcasters generally fall into one of a few camps. You may have a few others to add based on your experience, but there are people that start a podcast because that is their business, right? They want to generate revenue and sell sponsorships and all that kind of stuff. But then there are people that own businesses and they want to use their podcast to market, promote their business, establish authority and credibility. And those are two different things, in my opinion.
Yeah. So a couple of takeaways. You started the podcast because of the pandemic and you want to still be able to market. You're going to keep doing it even now because A, you enjoy it, but B, your why, and everybody should begin with their why. Yours is networking. You want to have those connections. You want to meet those people, and that is going to still be there for you, and you'll be able to create content that helps.
Yes.
You're not doing your podcast like some podcasters are doing it because they specifically want the podcast itself to be a monetization tool.
Yes.
They want to have a giant audience. They want to have sponsors. You're doing it mostly because you want it to be kind of like a piece of your business, a way for you to connect with people, have those conversations with people, learn something, pass the time, etc. May I ask you to point out a little bit of like the ROI you're getting through podcasting, or just maybe benefits in general?
Yeah. So again, going back to the networking side of it, which I think a lot of people overlook, I mainly interview two different types of people on my podcast at this point. Potential referral partners, people that I want to continue to build my relationship with, and people that could potentially be ideal clients.
Okay. I'm writing this down. Referral partners and ideal clients. It's making me wonder if when you're putting out the content itself, do you have like somebody in mind who's going to be listening and finding the content?
Yes. So all the content is geared around small business owners that want to grow their business, right? They're looking for tips, tricks, you know, systems, frameworks, information that they can use to help grow their business.
Okay. Got it. So to the listener, we're interviewing Tim Fitzpatrick today. He's got a podcast. His bio's in the show notes. I don't really usually like to read people's bios at the beginning of an episode. I don't know if you want to listen to it, but if you want to read it, it's already in the show notes. And additionally, his podcast is in the show notes. So you can just jump on over there. He's done almost 200 episodes as we're recording now that are published currently. And his company does marketing. So I definitely want to figure out how does he do marketing. But something's kind of interesting. Before we started recording, I asked him what Rialto even means. Like, is that somebody's last name? What is it? Is it each of those letters means something? R-I-A-L-T-O. And I want him to share with you kind of like, what is Rialto and what does this company do? Then we're going to speak a lot more about kind of like some more of that marketing, deep dive a little bit more so that you have some takeaways on marketing yourself, your business, and maybe even your podcast. So Tim, what does Rialto mean?
Yeah. So
you're like, I already answered this.
No, it's all good, man. So as we were talking about off air, there's two things that it means. So Rialto was named after the Rialto Bridge, which is in Venice. Some people, I'm super impressed when people see our logo and they know exactly where it is. All it really means is they're just familiar with it or they've been there. But it's where my honeymoon started. And so close to my heart there, obviously. But then the other thing with bridges is bridges help us get from where we are to where we want to be. And that's how I've always viewed marketing. You know, you can have the best product or service in the world. And if you do not have marketing generating leads that turn into customers, you're going to be the best kept secret. You're not going to stay in business. So, you know, marketing helps us get from where we are to where we want to go.
I love it. I need to write this down. This is good stuff. Bridge. Where we want to go. So I want to understand, like, who is your perfect avatar? In a way, you've already mentioned on this episode that you're really targeting small business owners. Is there a way for you to narrow that down? Like small business owners that are what? Are struggling with something, that are looking for something, that live in a certain place?
I'll tell you exactly who our ideal clients are. They are B2B professional service firms that want to accelerate revenue growth and attract more ideal clients. So they know they have an opportunity for growth and they're unsure exactly how to make that happen. And what we do is we come in and we help them remove their revenue roadblocks and run their marketing so they don't have to.
Yeah.
Okay. So our ideal clients are, they're investing in marketing already, but they're not getting great results, little or no return. The owner is the one that's trying to run marketing with all the other, you know, four or five plates they're trying to spin. And marketing is just, they don't have time. It's not their skill set and they don't have the desire to do it. And they need somebody who can come in at an executive level and put their strategy in place, put their plan in place and run their marketing efforts.
Yeah. All right. How much do they bring in revenue normally, your perfect clients?
Between 2 to 20 million in revenue is usually where they're at.
Okay.
You know, they're typically spending, you know, anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 or more a month in marketing.
Okay.
Already.
And what are some of the strategies that you guys do? Like in, for example, if we have a listener whose budget isn't there yet, but they might be able to spend some time doing some of the things you guys do that help companies grow.
Yeah.
And maybe they're okay spinning those plates for now. Like, what could you pour into us so that we can be better at marketing? And before you answer that, I need to mention, as you shared your ideal listener, the B2B spinning plates, time, skill, design, you know, you can come in and take over all of that. It was really specific. You identified and understood what they're going through, what they need, what they have. And I think for the listener today, any podcaster, any business person, if we don't have our avatar as fine-tuned as you just shared, it's going to be really hard for us to make money through anything. So maybe if you're listening and you took good notes, perfect. If not, you might rewind it and just listen to him say that again so that you can develop your own avatar in a very similar way. But Tim, you were saying you have all these marketing strategies, you help other people, their budgets are like $10,000 a month plus. What if we're listening and our budget is much, much smaller? What can we do to start marketing so that we can fuel our business and grow our company?
So, Adam, the system that we use, it doesn't matter where you're at. We focus on three aspects of marketing that have to be there. If they're out of alignment, they're missing, it's not going to work as it's not going to work at all, or it's not going to work as well as it should. Mm. One is strategy, right? You have to have a strategy in place. You have to have a plan, right? In the absence of a plan, everything looks like an opportunity, and most people end up just like throwing stuff up against a wall, hoping something's going to stick. And then you have to have somebody leading your marketing efforts, somebody that knows what they're doing, who can drive results and hold people accountable. So those are the three areas of marketing that we focus on and we work in. But I want to talk about strategy because you touched on this. I interviewed you for our podcast yesterday and you touched on this. So I know your audience has heard this from you before, but when we start with strategy, everything from a marketing standpoint starts with your target market. Who are you going to serve? How are you going to serve those people? And who are your ideal clients within that market? So whether you're starting whether you have a business or whether you're starting a podcast just to start a podcast, right? That is going to be your business. It still all starts with your target market. Everything from marketing starts there. So we really have to understand who those ideal people are and who we can help most. We have to get really clear on that, because if we're not clear on that, we do what most people do, which is just kind of market to everyone. And that just, it doesn't work.
So I like that really you need say to that.
Understand it.
I like you say not to market to everyone.
Yeah,
there's a lot of clients that come to us to launch their podcast and they don't narrow down their avatar, their target market, the who and the how they're going to, the who they're going to approach and how they're, I feel like the problem is that they don't want to lose business. They don't want to lose revenue. They don't want to pigeonhole themselves to just one type.
Yep.
And so instead, they make their podcast extremely broad. And I've noticed that in all cases, it makes it so nobody really knows if that show is for them.
Right.
So if you're speaking to just one person, one type of person, it seems like so much easier for them to kind of like do what they need to and know that this podcast is for them or this business is for them.
Yeah.
I need to be honest with you. And I think it's important because I think that there's at least one listener who heard this as well. I don't know, honestly, the difference between a strategy and a plan. To me, they both sound the same. It's like it's a plan is your approach, how you're going to do it. Your strategy is seems like your approach, how you're going to do it. So I think what I need is from a marketing expert like you, just to kind of help me take those two things apart so I understand which one is which and I don't overlap them.
Yeah, this is a really good question. So I'll tell you how I view it. Some people may view this slightly differently. But when I talk about marketing strategy, I'm talking primarily about three different elements. And in my opinion, these lay the foundation and then everything else is building the rest of that house. But when I look at marketing strategy, I look at your target market and who your ideal clients are within that market. I look at messaging. What's your message going to be to attract and engage those ideal clients? And what are your services and your offers to that market? All those things have to be in alignment. So when I look at strategy, that's what I'm looking at.
Okay.
When you look at planning is what are you actually going to do to get in front of those people and build a business, right? What is your plan to do that? So when we look at marketing planning, we look at three different elements within marketing planning. Lead generation, right? How are you going to generate leads? Lead conversion. Once you're generating leads, what's your process? What's your system for actually converting those leads? And then the last one is retention and referrals. Once you have clients, what are you doing to retain them and to build a referral base from it? So when we look at planning, those are the three elements that we look at. And if you want, actually, I mean, I'd be happy to dig into this deeper if it would be helpful for your audience. When we do planning, we look at planning in 90-day sprints, and I use a six-step template for that. But that's how I view strategy versus planning. They assist one another, but they are separate. But planning gets much more into the tactical elements than strategy is about the overarching, the higher level. What do I want to achieve?
Okay, so I'm making notes, and it's sounding like, please correct me if I'm wrong, strategy is kind of like a 30,000 foot view. So you can back up and understand what it looks like, what you're trying to achieve.
Yep.
And the plan is the deeper dive of the tactical things that need to be implemented in order to follow that strategy, in order to make the vision happen. It's kind of like the more granular part. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Awesome. I would say that you nailed that.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. So I like that you said a 90-day plan. And I thought it was interesting that there are six steps. I think that the listener is like, what are the six steps? I need that. I need that right now. Yeah. This is important.
So let's break it down. So, and first off, let me take a step back. Why 90 days? In my opinion, our businesses are evolving quickly. The market is evolving quickly. Nobody puts together a year-long marketing plan that is the same at the end as it was in the beginning. So what the hell is the point? One-year marketing plans tend to be much more complicated. And I think when we make things complicated, it gets in the way of results. So we need to keep things as simple as possible. 90 days keeps things simple, helps us really outline our priorities, but it's a long enough period of time for us to start seeing traction, but it's short enough where we can make course corrections and just wash, rinse, repeat every 90 days. So that's why I look at marketing planning in 90 days. Now, the six elements of the plan. One is your target market. Who are your ideal clients? 1 to 3 ideal clients. I never recommend anybody have more than three. I mean, there are cases where, you know, if you're pretty advanced in your business and you're expanding, you may have more than that. But most of the people we deal with have no business targeting more than 1 to 3 ideal client types.
So for me, I might have 2 ideal clients, and one might be somebody who's really wanting to have a podcast. They haven't taken that step yet.
Yeah.
So I'll call her Amanda right now. Okay. Amanda, really excited, wants to have a show, knows that she can crush it, just hasn't launched. And then Sarah is my other ideal client today. And she's been having a podcast for a couple of years, but it's not getting the traction that she's really looking for. So I could create these two avatars, these two people that I need to reach out to. And then what do I do with Sarah and Amanda? Amanda and Sarah. Do I have one strategy where it is only for Amanda and a separate strategy pretty much going on simultaneously, but for Sarah instead of Amanda? Or do I try to have ads that appeal to both people that have a podcast, but not getting a lot of results yet, and appeal to people that need to start a podcast, want to have a podcast? So once I get my two avatars, now I've figured that out, what do I do after that?
Okay, so you've listed your two avatars, right? They're in the plan. Mm-hmm. The reason they're at the top of the plan goes back to, again, what I said before. This is where everything starts. So I just want to make sure you're keeping this top of mind all the time. Okay. Now, the second thing is, what's our goal? We need to understand, we need to have an idea of what our goal is for the next 90 days. It's going to be time bound. It needs to be specific and measurable. This could be, you know, whatever. For a podcast, it could be, you know, I intend to secure my next 5 guests or 6 guests, whatever it is. This is what I call an outcome-based goal, or how it was always described to me, is an outcome-based goal. There are things beyond our control that can impact our ability to hit an outcome-based goal. So what I like to tell people is, it's important. You have to know where you're headed or where you intend to go, but don't get so attached to an outcome-based goal that if you don't hit it, you know, the wheels come off and you want to go crawl into a hole, right? Because that's not going to serve you well. But you do need to have an understanding of where you intend to go. Okay, that's the second step. Now, the third step is budget and resources. What this gives you an idea of is how much you can actually take on in your plan. If I have $500 a month or I have $50,000 a month to invest in marketing, right? Those are two totally different things. And wherever you're at is totally okay. There's no right or wrong here. We just want to have an idea of what we got to work with. Then when we talk about resources, we're looking at time, like staff time. Is it just me? Is it me and other people? And what are their capabilities? You know, if Adam, you're on my team and I want you to do LinkedIn and you're looking at me like, LinkedIn, what the hell is that? Right? Well, that's probably not going to work, right? I either need to level up your skills or I need to find somebody else who's going to do this for me. But in this third step, we're just getting a clear picture of what we have to work with and how much or how little we should look at taking on in our plan.
Yeah.
Right. Because if we put together a plan with all these grandiose things and we don't have much to work with, that's not going to work. Right. Again, the wheels are going to come off. We're going to be like, oh my God, I'm trying to do this. Nothing's worked. You're going to implement like crap. It's just not going to work. So we want to make sure that we're biting off something that's commensurate with what we've got to work with here. Okay. In our plan.
Let me make sure I'm still with you.
Cool.
Step one was the avatar.
Yeah.
So that's 1 to 3. Never recommend anyone ever go past 3. That's very rare.
Yeah.
So I've got 2. Then it's to figure out the outcome. And if it's for a podcast, it might be getting guests, growing your listener base, and if it's for your business, it might be like client acquisitions or people recognizing your logo or discovery calls or any number of other things that you're like, this is what I want. And as you're making that, you're supposed to use something that's measurable and hopefully tangible, it sounds like.
Yep.
And then specific. The third thing is that you need to figure out your resources and budget your resources. And you include 2 things in those resources, time and money. So staffing would be time. How much time can your company or the people that you're hiring put toward this? Or how much money can we put toward this to make that outcome work? Yep. And so for me, maybe the outcome is that I want to have 40 discovery calls in this quarter because you do 90-day plans.
Yep.
So I want 40 discovery calls. That equates to 14 per month. And now I'm figuring out my budget.
Yep.
What's it going to take to do all this? Do I work with my virtual assistants to send this? Do I work with another company to do this for me? Or do I need to manage some of this myself with whatever skills I have? I got to figure that stuff out.
Yep.
Am I with you so far on the first 3 out of 6?
Yeah.
Steps?
So the only thing I'd add to that third step, it's time, money, and capability.
Okay.
Right. We want to make sure we're assigning
experience.
Yeah. We want to make sure we're assigning the right task to the right people.
Okay. Got it.
If we assign those things to the wrong people, they're not going to get done well. Right.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Other than that, you got everything, man.
Okay. All right. So what's step four?
Step four, we're getting a baseline of where we're starting from. So in step four, what we're looking at is what's our current plan? You know, what do we have? And when I say this, Adam, I know a lot of people don't have a plan. That's okay. I just want you to take note of what have you put in place from a marketing standpoint that's still in place? What are you continuing to do on an ongoing regular basis? Right. So this could be, I mean, if you have a podcast, right, that's something that you've already put in place that you continue to do. That's, we want to take note of that. You know, do you have a website? Are you active on any social channels? You know, are you creating content? Are you doing paid ads? You know, we just want to get an idea of where you're starting from. This is like my GPS. My GPS cannot tell me how to get to Denver International Airport unless I tell it I'm starting from Conifer or Highlands Ranch first and foremost.
Yeah.
Exact same thing here. You can't outline what you need to do to get where you want to go until you know where you're starting from. So that's what we're doing in step four.
Something comes to mind that I never put into the words that you're giving me. I like the way you're sharing this. I've helped a lot of people start a podcast from brand new, from scratch, and try to get their podcast into a certain ranking and a certain amount of listener base. And never is the same plan for two people. And correct. I never knew why it wasn't the same plan, but I intuitively would, and I was calling it something different than you're calling it, I would ask them what assets they have. And to me, that was their social media following, their email list. What do they have available? Like, not really necessarily the resources exactly, but what do they have available in order to do a thing? And so some people we would focus more on Facebook, some we'd focus more on LinkedIn, kind of like you were mentioning, and some we focus more on Facebook ads because they've got a really good team that does that, or their email marketing campaign because they have hundreds of thousands of subscribers. But it always changes. You just have to figure out where you are. And you mentioned an analogy of like, where are we starting? You mentioned a couple of cities, Conifer, Highlands Ranch, Denver, Dallas, wherever it is. If somebody said what you do is you go 1 mile, turn right, go another mile, turn left, go 1 mile, turn right, that'll only work if you're at a certain point.
Yes.
So you have to figure out where you are before you start going. So get a baseline of where you are now. I wrote in parentheses, assets. What do you have? What are you working with? What's your GPS now? What's number five?
So number five, I want to highlight something you just said, because I think this is so easy for people to miss. There is no one size fits all plan. They're all unique. So if you're trying to take something that somebody's trying to apply across the board and say this works for everyone, I'd be really careful and cautious with that. So that's super important. But in step five, this is where we're looking at what our priorities are going to be for the next 90 days. What are we going to put in our plan for the next 90 days? And this is a really important step, obviously, because we know what our priorities are. When we know what our priorities are, we have clarity, our stress goes down, and it also allows us to start putting up walls for all this information overload that exists with marketing, right? There's no shortage of gurus, marketing channels, marketing tactics. All kinds of information is coming at us. And if we don't know exactly what our priorities are, it's very easy to just be like a squirrel chasing a nut every time one of those messages comes in front of us. But if you have your priorities, you can have the discipline to go, you know what? This is not on my priority list right now. I'm not saying no forever. I'm just saying no right now because I got to get these priorities done. So that's what we're doing in step five. What are our priorities? One of the common questions. Go ahead.
Have you heard of Gina Wickman before?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. An author.
Yeah, the guy who started Traction.
Yeah, Traction, yep. EOS. What the heck is EOS? So what you're mentioning reminds me of the wisdom that also comes from kind of like the Traction, and it is when my company uses Traction, we do it for 90 days and we have quarterly rocks, and that's like our priorities. Those are the biggest rocks, not the sand, not the water that is just going to take up time. And so we're tracking for 90 days, quarterly rocks.
Yep.
And it seems to really help the company be more effective when doing that. And as you were mentioning your plan with priorities over the next 90 days, I kept thinking about, this resonates with me. I've read this before.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. It's, I didn't come up with 90 days. By the way, you can use 90 day planning for anything. It doesn't matter whether it's marketing or operations or whatever. It doesn't even have to, it can be personal, right? Just 90 day planning tends to work really, really well, in my opinion. So one of the common questions that I get at this phase in the plan is, okay, this is great. How do I know what my priorities should be? And I want to give some real actionable advice here. Here are the most likely places to start. One strategy, if you do not have your ideal clients dialed in and a message that is clear and engaging to attract that market, you have to start there. If you skip it, you are going to waste time and you are going to waste money and you're going to have to come back to it at some point. So don't feel like you're not taking action when you focus on strategy. You are. You're taking the time to build, to have the foundation that's going to really help you build the rest of your house. Second, your website. I think this is still just as critical for somebody that is just has a podcast as the main part of their business as somebody that is using a podcast as a tool to market their business. But man, your website, like everybody goes there. Every activity, marketing activity you take drives people back to your website. Even if you're a 100% referral business, does anybody automatically pick up the phone or send an email when they get a referral? Next to nobody, right? They're, when they get a referral, they're like, oh, okay, cool. Let me go check out Tim. What's Tim all about? Or what's Adam all about? And if they go to your website and it looks like it's from 1995 or the messaging is off, it just doesn't make sense. They don't understand what you do. They're not going to take the time to figure it out. And they're just going to go, God, why did Adam refer Tim? You know? I don't quite get it. So even if you're 100% referral, if your website sucks, you're losing referral business and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
So your website is the hub for all of your marketing efforts after you've put strategy in place, which is why it's the second on my list. Now, the third thing on my list has two sides to it. The first side is, what are you doing that is already working in your business? Too many people go, oh, I've got to get into, I got to have a YouTube channel, or I've got to, you know, start writing a blog. When in reality, if you've been in business, something's already working, but I can guarantee you, you haven't optimized that completely, or you have gaps that you need to plug. Let's optimize what's already working first before you start to expand out into other tactics and channels. That's going to be super low-hanging fruit, and you're going to get faster results from that. Now, the flip side of that coin is, are there things that you used to do that worked that you just like lost sight of it? You just forgot. You're like, gosh, yeah, that used to work. Why the hell did we stop doing that? Those two things from a very action-oriented standpoint is low-hanging fruit where you can get very quick results.
Good
so
stuff.
Those are the three recommendations I have in this fifth step.
So in the fifth step, it's the priorities over the next 90 days and to help us to be able to figure out our quarterly rock is going to be, one, make sure we've honed in our avatar as well as we can. Two, make sure that website's up, running, ready, and working. And three, we ask ourselves a two-part question. What's working now, or what has worked for us in the past? Right?
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right.
Those are the easiest places to start.
Yeah. What's number six?
Number six is metrics. So I was a math major, man. I can dig into the weeds on the numbers. But with metrics, there's a lot of people out there that they're marketing, but they don't know whether it's working or not. And that all comes back down to metrics. They're either not tracking any metrics or they're tracking the wrong metrics. The challenge with marketing is there are so many metrics and so many of them don't mean a damn thing. Like, I don't care how many people are visiting your website. I don't care how many people are on your email list, how many followers you have on Facebook. if those things are not generating leads that are converting to customers, then who cares, right? Like, and I can't remember where I initially heard this, but I heard somebody say, like, man, there's all kinds of broke influencers out there. Like, they got all these followers. You look at them and you're like, oh my God, they got it all figured out and they're not doing any business. So, like, who cares? So let's get really tactical. What metrics should I track? I'm going to give your audience some things to consider here. And I think you can add to this. Okay. I'm going to get tactical on the business side of it, but I think there are also probably some podcast metrics that people can look at where if the podcast is their business, what should you be paying attention to? But from a business standpoint, you want to understand it first, how many leads you're generating each month. Second, where are those leads coming from? When you understand where they're coming from and you start to track that data over time, you're going to start to have information that's going to tell you what marketing activities are actually generating leads and which aren't. And then the third is how many of those leads are converting to customers. That's going to give you your conversion rate. Once you know what your conversion rate is, now you know, like, hey, if I want to bring on X new customers this month, well, I need to generate Y amount of leads. That's super powerful information that a lot of people cannot tell you about their business because they're not tracking it. So those are three simple metrics.
How do we know, like, how many leads we're getting? What does the lead qualify as? Is it somebody who listens to our podcast? Is it someone who scheduled a discovery call? Someone who downloaded a lead magnet? What exactly is a lead?
That's a great question. And the answer is going to depend on your business, right? We each need to define that threshold that somebody has to cross to be considered a lead. For my business, it's a call. It's an initial call, right? So if somebody goes onto my email list, that is not a lead for me. They have to raise their hand and say, yes, Tim, I would like to chat with you. And when they do that, they now become a lead. But for other businesses, that may be slightly different, but you have to define that for yourself so that you can then determine whether somebody is actually a lead or not.
Yeah. How do we know where they come from? What is it just as simple as they're filling out some paperwork, there's a question that says, how'd you hear about us?
Yes. Or yeah. It's as simple as that. Now, look, some people listening may go, well, geez, that's not 100%. No, nothing's 100%. But guess what? If you're not asking right now, it's a hell of a lot better than where you're at. So yeah, sometimes people don't remember, right? You know, and so it's not 100%. There are sometimes, depending on where the leads come from, you can attribute them. You don't even need to ask, right? But if you're not sure, you ask as part of your process. One of the things we have in our form for people, like, I don't schedule a call with somebody that hasn't filled out a form. They fill out a form, then they get access to my calendar. One of the questions on there is, how'd you hear about us? Okay. So that's how I do it. I don't think we need to overthink this. Just put a step in your process where you actually ask. And, you know, the majority of the time, you're going to get fairly good data that's at least going to inform you better than where you're at now.
How do we use the middle one? Asking because I can see that it's possible to say, I got 100 leads that scheduled a call or whatever. 50 of them came from this place, 20 of them came from this place, 20 came from this place, and 10 came from the fourth place. And then when I see after, I see that I got 10 clients, 10%.
Yep.
What I'm curious about is how we're going to now use that middle part of where they came from. Do we need to say, oh, wow, everybody that became a client came from a referral. None of them came from my Facebook ad. So I need to stop my Facebook ad or something like that.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily, it's information that you need to dig deeper to understand what you should do. Right.
Okay.
But, you know, for example, I mean, and I believe it was Dan Kennedy that said this, maybe he came up with it, maybe he didn't, but he talks about the concept of like one in business is like the worst number ever. If you have one lead gen channel, referrals, generating all your business, or all your leads are coming from Facebook ads. That is a horrible place to be. Like people, you know, in the last couple of years with all the things that have happened with Facebook ads and attribution and being able to track, man, ad costs are going up. Like being solely dependent on one thing for any aspect of your business is a very vulnerable place to be. So if you're looking at that, the numbers from the second step going, oh my God, all of our leads are coming from referral. Well, hey, that's great. Referrals are working for you, but what else can we start to do to generate leads from other channels so that we're not dependent on it? Or it could be, hey, we've been doing speaking. Okay. I've been doing workshops and we're not getting any leads from it. Why? That doesn't mean that speaking doesn't work. In most cases, it doesn't mean that it doesn't work. It just means that there's something off. What's off? Am I getting in front of the right audience? Is it the wrong presentation? Do I have no call to action? You know what? Something's off. These are just, it's leaving clues that you need to look into and dig deeper to figure out, okay, what do we need to do to make this better? Or what changes or adjustments do we need to make? That's how we utilize that. I hope, does that help?
Yeah, everything's really, really clear and helpful, certainly. If one thing that you mentioned was that, well, actually, let me move to this question because of how much time I think we have on the call.
Yeah.
And it is going to be helpful for me and a listener. You have been able to approaching like 200 episodes when the average person out there, most people don't go past 10 episodes. So what I really like to know and understand is what is different about you, how you were able to go that far, and if there's any takeaways that a listener can take into their own podcasting journey that'll allow them to have the longevity that you've had.
I would say the biggest determining factor for me is putting a process and a system in place. You know, because, and you know this, Adam, because you do this for clients, there's a lot of moving pieces to, you know, putting together a podcast and doing it. So for me, having that process and system in place of how are we going to actually, what are the steps we need to take to do this? Having our podcast calendar, you know, when are we going to shoot episodes? How are we going to schedule them? You know, do we need to schedule new ones? What are we going to talk about? All that stuff. You have to have the system and the process in place. Otherwise, the wheels are going to come off very quickly. So for me, that's what has helped me. Once I have a system and process in place, I'm a very disciplined person. So that has not been a struggle for me.
Yeah.
What was difficult for me in the beginning was just fumbling through the beginning to learn the process and figure out, okay, what does our process actually look like? And then continually refining it. The process I have now is different than what it was when I initially started. It doesn't mean it's drastically different, but I'll tell you something. One of the biggest benefits that has helped my podcast process is being a guest on other people's podcasts. Because when you are a guest on other people's podcasts, you see steps that they take that work and you see steps that they take that are absolutely awful, right? Like a horrible guest experience. And man, since the pandemic, I've done over 150 guest podcast spots in addition to my podcast. And so, man, I've seen it all, man. Like some people just have everything together and it's like, oh my God, that is awesome. I love that. And so I find the stuff that I love and I put that into our process. Like you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Guest podcasting has really helped our process get refined.
I've heard a lot of successful people say to copy your way to success.
Yeah.
you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If it works, it works.
Yep.
This has been a really cool episode. I've enjoyed it. If you are listening and you want to check out the Rialto Marketing Podcast. You could definitely type it in, or we've got the link down in the show notes. Go ahead and scroll down. Also, the bio and the link to Tim's company is in the show notes as well, so you can connect with him there. A lot of good stuff. I'm going to wrap it up again. I've wrapped everything up, but I've just really enjoyed all of the different steps and tangible takeaways for marketing ourselves and our company, how to think through it, what to do first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth has been extremely helpful. So really, really appreciate it. I'll see you on the next episode. You know, I really don't say this nearly enough. I don't mention this and I feel horrible because it's a great resource for you to be able to take your podcast to the next level. And it's simply a free resource that I don't need your email or anything. It's just a podcasting course that I created that is ended up putting in the very first six episodes of this podcast. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely going to want to just check out those first six episodes, see how they can help you improve your podcast, get in front of more people, and have a better result where you're making more money through the podcast, etc. So much can happen after you listen through episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So if you haven't done it, go do it now. And by the way, if you're subscribed, you'll keep hearing more great content. So to those of you who are, I'll see you on the next episode.